Welcome back to our study of Ruth. We are in chapter 3, right at the beginning. And before we look at this verse again, I just want to point out something to you here. That Naomi recognized her need for redemption. And she also recognized the fact that she was not able to redeem herself. Now, you think about where we are in our relationship with the Lord, our individual relationships. We all had to come to the point where we recognized that we needed a Redeemer and that we were not capable, no matter what we did, how hard we worked, how many churches we attended, or how faithful we were to a particular church. In and of ourselves, we were not able to fulfill the law, to pay the penalty that was due for our sin, that we needed a Redeemer. And we know Jesus Christ is our Redeemer. He was the one that was related. He had the ability, the sinless lamb. But not just that, he was willing. He had the heart to want to redeem. And so Naomi's in a situation here where she knows they need some help. They recognize they need a Redeemer. She sees some hope, I believe, in Boaz, the kinsman, the close relative, what that means. And then in that third verse, as we mentioned at the end of last session, she said to her daughter-in-law, "Shall I not seek rest for thee? Shall I not seek a home for thee?" And we had mentioned and looked at Hebrews chapter 4 and realized and pointed out the fact that Jesus is our rest. But we also looked at that 11th verse and talked about the fact that we have to labor to enter into the rest. We have to put forth some effort to enter into the rest that Jesus has provided for us and made available for us. And I told Pete at break, I thought about in John chapter 14, do you remember Jesus made a similar statement from my perspective that Naomi said, "Shall I not seek a rest for you?" Remember when he said, "In my Father's house there's many mansions"? But he followed that up by saying, I'm going to go and I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to go prepare an abode for you. But there's work on our part to get to that rest that he's prepared for us, the home, the abode that he's got for us. Now, Ruth had some work that she was going to have to do to prepare. And we're going to read and we're going to find out there's some things she needed to take care of physically, naturally speaking, to get to the point where she could be in a position to ask for some help, some covering, some protection, if you will.
The labor came before the rest.
Yes.
That's really the bottom line, and that's a principle. That's why he says labor to enter into the rest. But once you get into the rest, you cease from the labor.
Good. Thank you. We want to read some instructions that Ruth...
Okay.
In verse 2,
chapter 3, it says, "And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens you were. Behold, he winnows barley tonight in the threshing floor." Let me say this. Boaz was related to Naomi's husband, Elimelech. That's why you know, it's mentioned only one time, but you see kindred other times. I just want you to know who the kindred was. He's related to Naomi's deceased husband, okay?
Now here comes the instructions that Naomi gives Ruth.
Okay. Before I read that,
okay,
she tells her where Boaz is going to be, and evidently Naomi knows something. She's got some inside information here, okay?
Yes.
That he's going to be winnowing barley. In other words, he's going to be separating that into the threshing floor. And so in verse 3, Naomi tells Ruth, wash yourself, anoint, put your raiment on you, and go down to the floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. She gives her specifics.
Specifics. Take a bath. Anoint yourself. Now, anointing here literally means rub yourself with oil. In other words, get yourself clean, put some oil on you, perfume on you, put on your best dress, get prepared here. This is the work you've got to do to get ready. And then she gives her some more instruction.
So I want you to think about this. When you're out there working, you know, you may not smell real good and all this, sweating and all the other stuff. So what she's saying is, now, when you go down there, this is going to ultimately be a proposal, all right?
Mm-hmm.
You go down there, you take a bath, and you get that good-smelling lotion on to where you smell good, and you make sure that your clothes are right. You understand? Make yourself appealing.
Yeah.
You with me?
Yeah.
That's make yourself appealing to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He washed you with the water of the Word, you understand?
Yeah.
He's not wanting dirty, nasty, stinking people. He's wanting us to get cleaned up. Right?
Yeah.
All right.
And then she tells, Naomi tells Ruth, don't make yourself known unto the man. In other words, don't. There's a time to conceal and there's a time to reveal. Don't make yourself known right away.
Don't be too aggressive.
Yes.
Okay.
You need to wait.
And it shall be when he lies down that you are to mark the place where he will lie, and then you'll go in and uncover his feet and lay down, and he will tell you what you should do.
Those are mighty big instructions from a mother-in-law to a young woman. Now, I want you to go do this. Now, listen to the heart of Ruth and her heart, her submissive heart to her mother-in-law. She doesn't just have a submissive heart, she's also obedient. She's willing to follow instructions and put herself under the authority of her mother-in-law to receive those instructions.
It's something you need to take in consideration. We don't have age, but Boaz is a lot older than Ruth. And so Ruth is not thinking about herself and who is so appealing and all this. She's staying submitted to her mother-in-law. She's just following the instructions she gives her. And so when she goes down, note that she does not say, go lay down beside him. There's nothing seductive about this.
Mm-hmm.
You go lay at his feet. And there's a significance to that we'll find as we go along. And then you'll uncover his feet. And then he'll tell you what to do.
Yeah. So thinking about Naomi, I believe, She knew the heart of Boaz, in that we're going to read later that she knows that man's not going to rest until he gets a thing done. she recognizes him as one that's blessed of the Lord. She is she's confident in the fact that Boaz is going to tell Ruth exactly what needs to be done when Ruth humbles herself and submits herself to Boaz.
This could be called a prearranged marriage. You understand? Well, we also have that ourselves. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
And so Ruth, in replying to Naomi, verse 5, she said to her, "All that you say to me, I will do."
Wow. What if we made that type of commitment to Jesus? All that you say to me, I'll do. Those are big words, aren't they?
And she went down to the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her to do, or told her to do. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And note this, she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid down.
That word softly, when you look up the definition in the Hebrew, it also means secretly. So she is absolutely following the directions that Naomi gave her. Remember, her mother-in-law told her not to make yourself known unto the man, but that you're just to wait till he's finished eating and drinking, and then you go lie down at his feet.
And although it's not stated, the way it unfolds, you will understand it, that when she does this, he's asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so she's not going in there when he's wide awake. Look at me, you know. But she waits till he lies down, goes to sleep. Then she stealthily enters in where he's lying. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet.
Now, can you imagine, gentlemen, if you wake up in the middle of the night and there's a woman at your feet?
Something going on.
Something going on. But there's what we're going to see, if you take a look in your study guide on page 7, letter D, number 1. Boaz, of course he's startled. What man wouldn't be in that situation? But we're going to see that he responds rather than reacts. And there's a difference here. There's an absolute difference. One, reacting can lead to emotional decisions, whereas responding can lead to a wise decision, right? Less damage.
So his first response, he said, "Who are you?"
Yeah.
It is dark, you understand. Mm-hmm. Okay. And she replied, "I am Ruth, your handmaid. Spread therefore the skirt, your skirt, over your handmaid, for you are our near kinsman."
Now, she is in a position of, she's humbled herself before Boaz, being at his feet. She's in a very vulnerable position before him. And she's recognizing, she also knows the need for redemption, that she has, they have a need for redemption. And so, her asking him to spread your skirt over her is a request for him to protect her, that she may come up under his protection, if you will. And they're intentional. She's intentional. Naomi was intentional. You ask, you come up to the feet of the one who is qualified, who has the ability to redeem. And now you need to you're asking if he's willing to do so.
Now, I'm going to go even further than that to say that she is saying that she's coming under his authority.
Yeah.
She's looking for an authority over her, a provider, a protector, the things that she needs, and she's willing to submit herself to that. And he responds by saying, all right, I'm sorry, I got ahead of her. Spread your skirt over your handmaid.
Uh-huh. That word skirt to me is, there's significance with that word skirt. When you look at it, at the definition in the Hebrew, it refers to an extremity. It's a covering, if you will. But it's also translated, or could be translated, or has been translated often as wing. And here's why that's important. It's because the wings symbolize protection, if you will. We were talking about a mother hen. Her little chicks will come up, her brood will come up under her wings, and she protects her. When you look in the Psalms, you see many times David refers to the wings of the Lord. I wrote down a few of the Psalms where he mentioned that. In Psalm 57, the first verse, David mentions about, in the shadow of your wings I'll make my refuge. And then in Psalm 61:4, he says to the Lord, speaking to the Lord, I will trust in the cover of your wings. You see, so this skirt referring to a covering, Ruth is basically saying the same thing here. I'm looking for your protection, please. I want to come up under your covering here, and I will be trusting in that. And then, of course, as Pete mentioned in the first session, Psalm 91, that fourth verse, under his wings you shall take refuge. And so the covering here, the skirt, to me points to the bigger picture of protection.
And I have to say this, in this day and time, he's not wearing a woman's clothes, you understand? But when he talks about skirt, if you've ever been into the other cultures, the men wear the long skirts, okay? And it's a manly garment, not a feminine garment, okay?
The race has just this heart that she's bearing before Boaz. A heart of submission, a heart, she's humbled herself here, of humility. Help me, please. Will you cover me, please? And then in verse 10.
All right. And he said, blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as you followed not young men, whether poor or rich.
Now he's really praising, from my perspective, he's praising Ruth. He sees so much in this woman. Remember? He said, we've all taken notice of you. We know who you are. We know how you've got a heart to serve your mother-in-law. But her heart of submission here gets his attention, and he responds very favorably to that heart. Just like Jesus responds very favorably to us, when we come and we're willing to lay at his feet and we're willing to ask for his covering, I need your help, please. I need your protection. Will you cover me, please? Will you put your skirt over me? How does Jesus respond to that? Favorably every single time. Just an unwavering yes. Ruth could have been saying, would you marry me, please? You know, we do the same thing with Jesus. We have that promise with the Lord. And so he's noticed her, and he's pointed out here. Here's, from my perspective, where you see this age difference. He's saying, Ruth, you're being more honorable than you were when you first started gleaning. You're not going after the young guys. You're not going after what other people would seek. You're not looking for the rich or the poor, whatever, the young, handsome movie star guy. You're looking for the one who can provide and protect. You think about Jesus. He's one that has no comeliness, that we should desire him, naturally speaking. It's that heart of submission that reaches out that finds favor.
You know, in the Western culture, we have difficulty understanding. We think if a person is so many years older than the other, well, why in the world would she marry him, or why would he marry her? And when you get into other cultures, it's not that way at all, you understand. Especially if you have prearranged marriage. Some of the prearranged marriages are made when the girl may be just a very small child. And then when she gets to the age of 12, which would be considered womanhood, when she reaches a maturity, I'll put it that way, then she's eligible. The man could be 60, 80 years old. That's not the issue. What they're doing is looking for someone to take care of her. Okay? And so Boaz is looking at Ruth from the perspective, if you've been very honorable to your mother-in-law, you're showing a greater kindness in the end than you did in the beginning. I mean, you were out here working, but now you have laid your life down. You're not looking at this thing from the perspective of a young man, rich or poor, but you have your motives right. Your motives are pure. And so he is more than willing to honor her request, you understand?
To me, Boaz is looking beyond the natural, the physical body. We don't hear a thing in here about him making a comment about her dress or the anointing oil that she put on herself. What we hear him say and comment and respond to, it are the matters of her heart. He's responding to the heart. He's not responding to the physical body. And that's what Jesus does. Jesus responds to our hearts.
Really, that's what Ruth's doing to him. She's obviously not looking at the physical, but she's looking to someone that'll have a heart to honor the request and put a covering over her. Okay?
And then verse 11.
He says, "And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to you all that you require. For all the city of my people do know that you are a virtuous woman."
How beautiful is that? It makes me want to cry because I think about Jesus. You know, when I first gave my heart to him and asked that he would take me, that he would cover me, that he would provide for me, that was the exact response. Yeah, I'm going to do all that you need. He's done all that I needed and then some. And here's the other beautiful thing that we see is, here again, Boaz is pointing out the heart of Ruth. He's saying, yeah, I recognize you're a virtuous woman, but not just me, everybody in the city sees that you're a virtuous woman. Now, that word virtuous there, if you look on page 8 of your study guide, you're going to see it's the definition is a force, such as an army, wealth, virtue, value, or strength. But really what it's talking about here is it's talking about her moral excellence is her force. A virtuous woman is one of force. She can have great influence on those around her, not because she's trying to get her way, or because she's manipulating, because it's the heart within her, an honorable heart that is submitted, that is respectful, that is willing to humble herself, will be one that gets attention and gets favor, and it'll be one that is very powerful. Because I want you just to think right now, how many virtuous women do you know? Probably name them on one hand, to be fair. Now you think about what kind of influence that woman has on the people around her. She's got so much influence, you're remembering her right now. Now, we want you to remember the fact that Ruth is described as a virtuous woman, and that means a woman of force. You're going to see that on your test.
That does not mean domination.
No.
She's a woman. A woman of force is one that can get things done. There's a difference. Okay? Now, I'm going to say something else. I want you to think about this. From the statement that Boaz makes, Ruth was the talk of the town.
Mm.
Right? Everybody in the city. Now, usually the talk of the town is not about virtue.
Yeah.
You know, they know all the negative things in the city. But because of her dedication to her mother-in-law, she has earned a very good reputation as a woman who is virtuous, you understand. She's a woman that is getting things done. She's taking care of her mother-in-law. She's not letting circumstances get her emotionally distraught, but she's one who overcomes the circumstances.
That's beautiful, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
If you want to know more about the virtuous woman, go read Proverbs 31 and see how Solomon, by the inspiration of God, defines a virtuous woman in all the attributes. And none of them have to do with, from my perspective, outward beauty. But all have to do with the heart.
You know, an interesting thing about that, here's a man who had 700 wives, 300 concubines. He makes a statement, out of 1,000 men, I could find one. But out of all those women, I couldn't. Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
It's in that 31st proverb, who can find a virtuous woman? The price is far above rubies or pearls, depending on which translation you're looking at. Well, Boaz knows he's found one here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He says, now it is true that I am a near kinsman. However, there is a kinsman that's nearer than I. There is a closer relative to Elimelech than me.
And so he's already fulfilling his promise to Ruth by speaking the truth to her and telling her what the situation is here. You know, one of the things we didn't talk about earlier in our study guide, there was mention of the fact that Ruth, when asked from Boaz, who are you? She speaks to him honestly and openly, and the fact that effective communication can be a safeguard against deception, coercion, or manipulation. And here Boaz is responding in kind to Ruth. Here's what you need to know. There's a closer relative than me. All right, thank you.
And submission gets his attention.
Absolutely.
You understand? And so, when he makes this statement to her that there's someone closer relative than me, but he says to her, tarry this night. In other words, stay here, and it shall be in the morning. that if he will perform unto you the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to you, then I will do the part of a kinsman to you as the Lord lives. Lie down in the morning.
So he went ahead and said, yes, what you've asked for, the need you've presented, it will be fulfilled one way or another. He's given her an assurance. And then he gives her an opportunity to go ahead and rest. And with that said, we'll pick up next session, maybe at verse 13, if not 13, 14.
Well, I thank you that you bless us indeed. You enlarge our territory. Your hand's with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up, let your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you flee before you. Amen.